She is a digital marketing specialist who can spin the meanest website around.
And he's host of the TV show Buzz, which features nonprofit organizations receiving marketing makeovers.
Here on Buzz for Good, we talk all things nonprofit, the people they serve and the good they do.
And we talk to creative professionals and provide marketing tips and tools to help your nonprofit achieve more.
That's right.
Buzz!
And greetings, everybody. Welcome to Buzz for Good, our radio and TV show simulcast that we air in partnership with our good friends at WFIR and Blue Ridge PBS. Here on Buzz for Good, we talk all things nonprofit, the good that they do in our communities, the people whom they serve, and we provide them with marketing tips and tools to help these nonprofits achieve more buzz. My name is Michael Hemphill. I am the creator and host of the TV show Buzz that airs on Blue Ridge PBS. And with me is my good friend, Carrie Cousins, the president of the American Advertising Federation of Roanoke and director of marketing at LeadPoint Digital, who provides so much buzz to so many nonprofits here in our region and on our TV show. Carrie, say hello.
Hello, everybody.
Well, we have a great show for you today. On today's show, I will be talking about our next episode on Blue Ridge PBS featuring the Virginia Children's Theater in partnership with Tudor House. That episode is going to air this coming Wednesday night on Blue Ridge PBS. We will also be hosting a free open to the public watch party at the Grandin Theater. We'll talk about that in a little while.
We're also going to talk with RAMP this week. RAMP is our technology accelerator here in downtown Roanoke. They are part of the Verge Alliance and have a new cohort that just got started.
Excellent. And we will be talking about Give Roanoke Day coming up on April the 20th, hosted, coordinated by the Council on Community Services. We also have a lot of videos that they have been soliciting on behalf of all the nonprofits participating in the day. So we will play that in a little while.
And I've got your favorite feature.
My favorite. Yes.
The No Budget Marketing Minute.
Nothing like no budget when it comes to nonprofits and marketing. So thank you.
There's nothing better than free.
Thank you for that, Carrie. Now, if you want to stay connected to Buzz for Good, beyond today's radio show, stay connected with us through our website, buzzforgood.com. That's Buzz, B-U-Z-Z, number 4, good.com. We're also on social media, at Buzz for Good. You can also watch past episodes of our TV show, as well as listen to past episodes of this radio show through Buzz for Good, either episodes for our TV show or podcast for past radio episodes. And I want to thank our sponsors, Partners in Financial Planning. That's partnersinfinancialplanning.com and Freedom First Credit Union, freedomfirst.com. Now, we always start off this show by talking about the nonprofit work and experiences that we have had over the past week. Carrie, last time on the show, you were talking about your preparations and the region's preparations for the Blue Ridge Marathon happening April the 16th.
I'm almost ready to run.
You were doing the half marathon, as I recall.
That is correct. Okay. I am not quite at the level of those people who do the full marathon or the ones who are out there doing the double marathon.
The double marathon. I mean, I could see driving it, but running it not even once. I wouldn't even want to do the half.
Even driving it's a little bit of a stretch.
So region is looking forward to welcoming how many people?
Probably looking at about 3,000 runners next weekend.
3,000 runners from all over the country, even other parts of the world, coming to the Roanoke region next week for what is billed as the toughest road marathon in the country.
That is correct.
All right. So there's the marathon, but there's also some other cool activities going along with it.
Yeah, what else is happening next week is the Down by Downtown Music Festival. There are 4 days of live music happening all over the downtown area.
Nice.
At different venues.
Okay.
So you'll want to check out the website, downbydowntown.com.
Right.
You can see all of the musicians, where they're performing, what time. A lot of the shows are even free.
Okay.
So you can go hang out and really get immersed in the culture of downtown Roanoke. That's the 4 days leading into the weekend next week. So that's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Go out, enjoy the live music, and it all finishes with a concert at Elmwood Park on Saturday night. And that's part of the Down by Downtown Music Festival.
Love it. So Down by Downtown, maybe a little spinoff of South by Southwest in Austin.
But it's just as cool.
But even cooler.
Yeah.
Even cooler,
it's,
right.
It's in Roanoke, it's so in Roanoke. It's awesome.
Okay, very good. And I believe you may have had something to do with the design, the logo, the marketing of that at one point.
I did at one point. Not anymore. That's okay. All put on by the Roanoke Outside Foundation and the great work they're doing over there. But back when I worked with that group.
You can still take credit for it. It's okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you credit for it. Anyway.
Wonderful. It's a fabulous event. Yeah. And it is so much fun. And if you haven't been out and about because you've been worried about the state of the world, right. A lot of these venues have outdoor seating. So get out and enjoy the spring in Roanoke.
Excellent. So there's the music, but then also just come out and cheer on these runners who are coming from all over the country. Let's give them a nice welcome to Roanoke. You never know. Some of these folks may end up deciding to come here and find out how cool a place it is and want to relocate.
And that really is the first step to moving somewhere, right? Is yep. You visit and you love it. So this is a great opportunity to show anybody coming from out of town what a great place this is to live.
Excellent. So that was your nonprofit world this past week. I have the good fortune of being on the board of the Roanoke Valley Children's Choir, and their spring concert happens tomorrow, if you're listening to this show on Saturday, April the 9th. Tomorrow, April 10th, at the Jefferson Center, 1:30 p.m., the Roanoke Valley Children's Choir will have their annual spring concert. It's going to be a lovely time. Tickets are still available, so come check that out. I also this week had the opportunity to reconnect with a good friend of mine who once worked at the Blue Ridge Women's Center, Terry Benjamin, just a wonderful woman who was kind of our contact when we did a Buzz episode last April or last May of 2021. That episode's still available on our YouTube channel. Great time with reconnecting with her. And she was sharing with me while we were talking about their upcoming Walk for Life that they have every May. And I got to thinking, well, you know what? I bet people are in our region, and especially those listening to WFIR, would like to know more about the Walk for Life. And so I'm going to start off by playing a little bit of our episode that we had last year about the great work that Blue Ridge Women's Center does. And then I will share with you my conversation that I had this week with Terry Benjamin talking about Walk for Life.
My first daughter was born when I was 28 years old. My wife and I had planned for the pregnancy. We both had good jobs, nice home, supportive friends and families, and money. So I can't imagine being a woman without those resources who finds herself expecting the unexpected, confronting life-changing choices she only has a matter of days or maybe weeks to make. I know that if my daughter were in such a situation, that she would find her way here to the Blue Ridge Women's Center, whose story we're telling on today's episode of Buzz.
My name is Ann Russell, and I'm Executive Director of Blue Ridge Women's Center. Blue Ridge Women's Center is a pregnancy medical clinic. We are a nonprofit. We serve women and families in the community who may find themselves in an unplanned pregnancy, offering them pregnancy tests, ultrasounds, and options counseling. And we offer resources for women for material goods such as baby clothes, baby items, and maternity items.
My name is Rebecca Capuano, and I work as the Client Services Manager here at the Blue Ridge Women's Center, and I also serve as the Reproductive Loss Coordinator as well.
We have served young women from 12, and we've had women up into their early 50s who thought they might be pregnant.
If I had to name an emotion, it would be overwhelmed, feeling. Often it's just an existential crisis for them. It's this sense of, I don't know how I'm going to survive this. And our role is really to just hear her story, to support her, to love her, to show her we care, to help her to reduce some of that anxiety so that she can more readily see what the options are so that when she makes a choice, she makes an informed one that's one that she can really live with and feel good about.
A little over 30 years ago, I was in college. I was 20 years old, just turned 20, and found myself in a very unhealthy relationship, very abusive, controlling, manipulative relationship. And I found myself pregnant and wasn't really sure what was I going to do. I came to Blue Ridge Women's Center to get counseling and support and help me to kind of process through what I was dealing with. And for a long time, I didn't even realize the abuse that I had been suffering. And I was told I deserved it. We see a lot of young women who come in here who hear that exact same thing. But through the counseling and the support that I received, I knew that I needed to parent my baby. And so my little girl just turned 30 a few days ago, and she is grown with 3 children of her own.
I actually came here myself, got involved here because of my own personal loss. I experienced reproductive loss in a number of different ways, but one of which was a loss of my son 3 days after he was born. And it was that loss that really brought me here to this place. And when he was born, he came and we learned that he had arm and leg contractures, which means his arms and legs were sort of fixed in position. And at the time, we just thought it was an orthopedic issue that was not a big deal. But after an hour or so after his birth, he began having some breathing difficulties. And it wasn't too long after that that we had a geneticist who came and told us that our son had a fatal degenerative disease. And they told us that we had days at the most, that it wouldn't be weeks. And he was at in the NICU for a couple of days, and then we brought him home. And when he passed, he was in our arms and our family was there singing to him. And it was obviously a very painful and hard thing, but it also was a beautiful thing that has been used in my life to transform me in a lot of ways and to help bring me to a place here that I wouldn't have been otherwise. It's been something that the Lord has used to really help me have a sense of compassion and care for those who are in pain and suffering. I think it's something that you can't get unless you walk the road. And in our reproductive loss support here, all of those who are facilitating those groups or individual supports have all been on a journey themselves. They have all experienced reproductive loss themselves. And we do that because we think it matters. It matters to have somebody walking with you, beside you, who's been on that journey. It's not exactly the same journey, but it's a similar journey and they understand. When you're really, really hurting, you don't want a lot of words. You don't want experts. You want somebody who's just gonna walk with you in the pain.
Well, we have a staff member here who has coined the phrase, Blue Ridge Women's Center is the best kept secret in the Roanoke Valley. And that's true. But I don't want to be the best kept secret in the Roanoke Valley. I want everybody to know who we are, how people in the community who may be looking for a place to volunteer or may be looking for a place to donate, that could be us serving women and men and families and children in the community.
All right. Well, it is my privilege to be here with Terry Benjamin, former development director and current ambassador for Blue Ridge Women's Center. Terry, great to see you again.
It's good to see you, Michael.
Yeah. So, of course, last year we had this wonderful episode featuring Blue Ridge Women's Center on Buzz. And at that time, the world was a little different. There was your traditional annual campaign was a bottle campaign where everybody puts in change into these baby bottles that are scattered throughout the Roanoke Valley. Couldn't do that last year. We tried to do a radio campaign to help make that happen, but it's good to have the bottle campaign back in action. We had that at our church recently, and it was great to see all the support that you guys are getting through that. But also you have a great fundraiser coming up. We're going to talk about that in a second, but first, what is the Blue Ridge Women's Center?
Well, the Blue Ridge Women's Center is a center for women to go to when they find themselves in an unexpected pregnancy.
Right.
We've been around for over 30 years now, and really are what we really want to try and do is just help her know all of her choices before she decides.
Yeah.
You know, give her the truth of her choices and help her have a safe place to come, no judgment, confidential, so that she can really just to talk to someone. And I'm sure that she has many questions that she can get those answered before she makes a decision. Because no matter what she decides, it's tough.
Yeah.
It's hard.
I think sometimes that's what gets lost in the conversations around unexpected, unplanned pregnancies. It's just the anxiety that
absolutely,
a lot of women must feel in that situation.
And just the uncertainty,
yeah.
You know, especially, you know, we came through the last 2 years, just, well, what does that mean? You know, can I have a baby now? And just for her to be able to have a safe place, really and truly, to just answer all of her questions, right, and know that she's not going to be judged.
Yeah.
And that's really what our mission is, mm-hmm, is for her. And so, like I said, we've seen so many wonderful stories of just changed lives because of being there.
Yeah. Well, we were very fortunate to be able to feature some of those stories on our episode of Buzz on the Blue Ridge Women's Center, which is still available on our YouTube channel at, mm-hmm, Buzz for Good. How many women do you think you serve on a given year?
That's a tough question.
Okay.
I would say, I think the average is around 500 to 600 women is,
wow,
probably around there.
It's a variety of services. It's not just women who come there for unplanned pregnancies.
Correct. We do a lot of different things. So we do give her the pregnancy test, so she can come for a pregnancy test. We also have an ultrasound that she can have. We have limited STD testing, mm-hmm, and those are all free of charge because of generous donors.
Right.
And then if she chooses life, we also have a store that, mm-hmm, she can shop for and take parenting classes online. And so that's been very successful as well. And the exciting thing is that we're actually not just going to be a women's center. We're actually going to start talking to the fathers of the babies as well. And so we're planning a men's ministry that's up and coming and hopefully will be available really soon this year.
Excellent. Yeah. Men, unfortunately, get off the hook a lot of times in these situations, mm-hmm, and they are equally as responsible, or should be equally as responsible in you know, the life of a child.
Oh, absolutely. And they said, I think there's a statistic that says 80%, mm-hmm, of the decision comes from him, you know, that she depends on him, that,
yeah,
you know, that's,
wow,
where she gets her decision making from. And so it's, you know, we're missing it when we don't speak to him as well.
Right. Now, you say that if the woman chooses life, then, mm-hmm, they can, you know, be part of the store that you have.
Yes.
There. We should say, though, that you do not provide abortion services at Blue Ridge Women's Center.
Correct.
That,
not at all.
Okay.
We mainly just let them know what the procedure would look like. But no, we do not do any type of abortions at all, or, right, refer for abortions.
Right. Right.
We do help with adoption. We can connect them with adoption, and then parenting. We have a lot of resources for them as well. And all, again, Michael, is free of charge,
yeah,
because of generous donors.
That's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
So talk about this fundraiser that you have coming up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have the Walk for Life. It's one of our major fundraisers, mm-hmm, that we do every year. It's May 7th. It's going to be at Wasena Park.
Okay.
And we love to have people come and just show their support for life.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's going to be, if they really want to register, like I said, it's May 7th, they can go to our support site, which is supportbrwc.org. And that's where they can register for the walk. But it's just a great time to get together and show support for life.
Right.
And, you know, so we would love to have as many people as possible come out.
Now, how is it a fundraiser?
It's a fundraiser because you would register to walk and then you would get sponsors.
Okay.
You know, and so you would just ask, you know, hey, can you sponsor me for $25? I'm going to do the Walk for Life this year, or $100. And that's how we really raise the funds, is through sponsors.
I see.
For the walkers.
Okay. Okay. Give me that website one more time.
Yes. It's supportbrwc.org.
Okay. Support, SUPPORT.
Mm-hmm.
BRWC.org. .org, okay.
And there'll just be a link there that they can register for the walk.
All right. How many people do you typically have registered for this?
In the past, well, you know, everything's changed. Are we talking pre or post?
Let's be aspirational.
Yeah.
Let's talk pre.
We would love to have, you know, over 100 to 200 walkers there. It would be absolutely marvelous.
Okay. Okay.
So, yeah. So, please, you know, grab your friends.
Yep.
We always claim, you know, never walk alone. So, if you're going,
nice,
to register you and a friend, and then come and just, you know, it's a 2-mile walk.
Okay.
So it's very easy, easy for strollers, for families, very family friendly.
And does everybody do it at the same time?
Yes.
Same,
mm-hmm,
place?
Yep.
Great.
Yep.
Okay.
We'll gather. I think it's around 8:30. I think the walk starts at 9 usually.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a 2-mile jaunt, and just, you know, get together with your small group. It's a great small group activity.
How wonderful. Well, What else do people need to know about Blue Ridge Women's Center going into this season?
Primarily just to continue to pray.
Yep.
You know, we can always use prayers. Hopefully you've seen our billboards around town, and just really, you know, just like, you know, I used to work there, but now I'm just an ambassador, and you can be an ambassador too. Just let women know that there's a place they can go to talk if they find themselves in an unplanned pregnancy. I think that's the key. And so that's how most people can help, is just be an ambassador.
Great. Great. Well, Terry, good to see you again. Thanks so much, and good luck with the walk.
Thanks so much, Michael. Appreciate it.
That looks like a great event and for a fantastic cause.
Indeed. And speaking of another fantastic event and a great cause, this Wednesday night, April the 13th, 7 p.m. on Blue Ridge PBS, we will be airing our next Buzz TV episode featuring just a fabulous collaboration between the Virginia Children's Theater and Tudor House. Tudor House, some of you may know, started in the tragic aftermath of Louis Tudor's suicide death in July of 2020. Louis Tudor, just a Roanoke icon for years and years. His family owned Tudor's Biscuit Company. He was just a prolific swimmer as well as a swimming coach and just wonderful human being throughout the Roanoke Valley. He took his life in July of 2020. Out of that tragedy, the Tudor House was founded. And it's an organization dedicated to suicide prevention and mental health. They collaborated this past year on a production of the Virginia Children's Theater that revolved around teenage suicide. And so we did this Buzz episode that will air this coming Wednesday night. We would invite everyone to come out to the Grandin Theater, or especially just watch it on TV. But there will be a community watch party at the Grandin Theater starting at 7 o'clock this Wednesday night, free and open to the public. We'd invite everyone to come. Now, once again, I want to thank everyone for tuning into the show. Stay connected with us at Buzz for Good on social media or buzzforgood.com. And with that, Carrie, what do we got next?
So this week you were able to speak with Mary Miller, the director at RAMP, about the programming and the great work they're doing over there to jumpstart and support all types of businesses, particularly in technology, biotechnology sectors throughout this region. So I'd love to see what you have in store from that interview.
Yeah, so what kind of prompted this interview was RAMP was founded in 2016, meaning that last year they celebrated their fifth birthday. And throughout the course of those 5 years, they have helped 31 different startup companies in our region accelerate. Right. So RAMP stands for the Regional Accelerator and Mentoring Program. So they've helped 31 different companies. Those companies now employ more than 600 people throughout the country, even the world. They sell products and services in all 50 states as well as internationally. And so I just thought it would be a great opportunity to talk to Mary about the 5 years that they've had, as well as they just started a new cohort here in the Roanoke, New River Valley region. And this seemed like a good opportunity to find out what they are about.
And it's a biotechnology cohort this time around, correct?
Indeed, yes. Health sciences and life sciences.
And so, if we really want to tie some more community engagement together, the biotechnology community also got a new educational program this week with Virginia Western announcing they're going to offer a degree in biotechnology. So that's something we can start growing from the K-12 to the college level to then accelerating companies right here in the region.
I love it. You know, that's so much of what she just talks about in our interview is, you know, sometimes a lot of our energy is spent trying to bring in outside companies, you know, as opposed to growing what we already have here. And so, yeah, the Virginia Western program, a great example of that, plus some others that Mary's going to share with us here.
That's developing an amazing pipeline.
Yep.
All right. Well, it is my pleasure to welcome Mary Miller, Director of RAMP, to Buzz for Good. Mary, welcome.
Thank you. It is so nice to be with you, Michael. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Yeah. So RAMP founded in 2016, and you are the founding director of RAMP. So let's rewind a little bit. How did you kind of get into a position where you could become the director of RAMP? What's your background?
Well, it's interesting. And I never think about it this way. I have been very entrepreneurial all my life. I never described myself that way, but as a child, I was very entrepreneurial. And eventually, I am working at Virginia Tech in technology, and I have an opportunity to spin out and start my own company. So many years ago, I left Virginia Tech and started a company as a startup and maintained and grew that company for 27 years. Right around 2016, there was an opportunity for me to place most of my clientele and kind of step away from the leadership of that company on a day-to-day basis. And so I took that opportunity and thought I would maybe read a book or sit down for a while. And what happened was, at that time, someone approached me about applying for and maybe stepping into what was truly a startup. The idea that across our region, we would have a very specific job to be done to find startups and provide them the support they needed so that they could grow right here. At that time, there were quite a few startups believing that they needed to leave the region. Austin, Texas was the mecca for startups. Oh, yeah. There had been an accelerator there called Techstars, which is still there. And a lot of young companies believe that you've either got to go to the Silicon Valley or to Techstars. So Virginia, across Virginia, we were exporting our entrepreneurial startups. And there had been identified many years earlier in a regional study that for our region to truly grow and benefit the way that it could, is that we needed to work to keep our startups here. Mm-hmm. So that was really the energy behind that. I agreed. We didn't have a lot of money. I agreed to take the job for half pay and see what we could do in the first year. But the region has always, I know this region, it's incredibly generous. It was very easy to find accomplished leaders to step in as mentors and to kind of move the needle very quickly on supporting our startup. So that was the beginning. It just within a year, my position was full time, and we were bringing in companies, and really kind of beginning to get a roll going. As you said, we did obtain $1 million grant from the Federal Economic Development Authority to double our output, which gave us an opportunity to hold two cohorts a year, one focused on health and life sciences and one agnostic to technology, just a technology startup to work together. So that's where we are today. We're holding two accelerators a year, and we continue to grow and support those startups.
Well, you know, it seems like a lot of traditional economic development has been trying to attract the major outside company to come to your location, rather than, in this case, it's more about kind of growing the talent that is already here. Is that a fair assessment of kind of how economic development has been thought of in the past versus today?
You know, that's really true. I say in economic development that there's two kinds of tasks. One is the hunter that goes across the country and tries to hunt for the large corporation that would like to move to our region and grow here. The other is the farmer, and I'm just a farmer. We sit in a region of incredible research development, whether you're looking at Fralin Biomedical or you're looking at Virginia Tech, or even if you're looking at the entrepreneurial activities of Hollins or Radford, and many of our universities are producing cutting edge thinkers. And there really wasn't any formalized way for them to take hold and get the help that they needed. But I truly am a farmer. I mean, and farmers are constantly testing their soil, adding amendments, trying to pick the right plants, trying to give them the right resources they need to grow, and then hoping that the weather cooperates. So all of the risk factors in farming we have. However, if you look at farming, all the studies across the nation, and the Kauffman Foundation is really big in these kind of studies, but many, many economic development studies show that when you home grow and support your homegrown companies, that's lasting economic development. And so that's kind of what we're focused on. We're focused on lasting economic development, helping our companies that want to stay here. To date, not a single one of our companies that we've ever worked with, I don't think, would think about leaving our region. They really believe that the resources they need and the support they need to grow are right here where they want to be. And of course, the beautiful Blue Ridge Mountains of Virginia.
Yeah. You know, your words about farming just resonate so well for me in the nonprofit world, also in like in the educational world, because I think everyone would say it is so much easier to retain either a student or retain a donor rather than trying to recruit a new student or a new donor. And so in this case, it seems very similar to you. You're growing what is already here and present rather than trying to bring in the outsider to your region.
That's right. And we hope that, and in many regions in the country, they are trying to bring the startups to them. Certainly, I mentioned Austin. They've been really good at that. There's other major cities focused on making deals if you're a startup to come there. Pittsburgh offers deals to startups. Philadelphia, New York. They're all looking because they know the power of the startup. For us, not only do we want to start up these companies, but we want to hold them up so the region is aware that they're here, so that the next person who's thinking that entrepreneurial way would say, you know, maybe I really could try that. Maybe I could do that. Michael, I'll say that we're fortunate at RAMP to belong to a global accelerator network. It's a really powerful network. You have to be selected in order to be in that network. But there's a couple hundred accelerators around the world, and we all work together with best practices. They just produced a report of the last 15 years of acceleration. And one of the facts that they pointed out that I thought was pretty powerful, that if you help a company start, and we all know that there is a failure rate, that all startups don't make it, but that even if a company fails, they bring lasting value to a region, that when we train people to think entrepreneurial, that they're more valuable as an employee in a larger corporation or in the next startup. Many, many entrepreneurs are just serial entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. They start something and they pivot, or they start the next thing, or they grow it, exit, and start again. So we see all of that going on right now, and people are beginning to talk about it. So, and realizing that there are companies here that are doing quite well. And so that's all good for us, but we're still farmers and we're just getting started.
Love it. So let's dive in a little bit deeper into exactly what RAMP offers. So starting last year, RAMP offers two cohorts a year. In the spring, there's one that focuses on health science, life science startups. And in the fall, there's one that focuses more exclusively on technology startups. So what should an entrepreneur who is accepted into a RAMP cohort expect to get out of it?
You know, that's a great question. I mean, there's some things, and I'll say it right up front, because people believe that they all need money. We do provide a $20,000 non-equity grant to the company. $20,000 isn't very much, but it is intended to help the companies do what I say is spend 13 weeks not just working in their business, but working on their business. And so it's all, once you started a business, you sometimes are just, you're just spinning so many plates and running wide open. You don't really have time to pause and think about all your processes. So we ask companies to consider 13 weeks to truly focus on their business. And in doing that, our goal is to help them refine their market sector and to help them understand where their beachhead is. And we want companies to think about how to be profit impatient and go after the market that's more within their reach, even though there may be multiple markets that they can go after. So there's quite a bit of work done on market validation. In addition to all of that work, which is, can be a very big initiative, we surround them with expertise, legal expertise, accounting expertise, a banking expertise, you know, HR expertise. Young companies know what they know, but they don't know what they don't know. And so I just before taking this call, I was helping one of our young companies that's doing extremely well. And they've got questions about export. They've got customers now in Canada and Australia, and they want to export their product, but they know they've got questions about what do they have to consider before they start exporting. And what I love about this is that the minute they think of a question, they raise their hand and say, who can help me? Who can help me? And so right away, we were able to connect them to some support in the state of Virginia, which will give them exactly the help they need and helping them figure this out. I say the one thing that I want our companies to think about as they go through RAMP is that I don't have all the answers. I just simply don't. I do know a lot of people, and I know a lot of really intelligent, giving, caring people that we can connect you to. And the state of Virginia and the federal government offers a lot of support, but sometimes you have to know where to look and who to ask. We can shorten that. So we really want to focus on the company. And what we also want to do is build a network. So you can go through RAMP for 13 weeks, and then you get 3 years of direct support. We don't want you to, 13 weeks isn't enough. So we don't want you to walk out of the door and we don't say goodbye. We just say that's the end of the weekly program. And now we're going to go to the regular support program, and you can reach out as you need. So it's a 3-year program of the support that you need to grow the business.
Lovely, lovely. So you've now been in operation going into your 6th year. When you look back and if someone were to ask you, give me a couple of success stories, what stories come to mind? What alumni come to mind?
Well, I mean, and they're going to sound varied, and keep in mind that the reality is that, you know, growth is what we're after, and everything doesn't grow at the same speed. A company that last year was recognized as a rising star in our region by the Roanoke Blacksburg Technology Council is Microharmonics. They're doing amazing technological work and producing electronics that are some of the best in the world. They're selling around the world their product, and they've been steadily growing. They have now doubled in size, and they've hired about 4 new employees full time. They're working with major electronic companies and NASA and so forth, really producing uncompared product in the marketplace. There's other companies, Ticket Spigot, which is one of, I'm so proud of what they've been able to do. They came through RAMP with 2 employees, and I think recently they have about 40 employees now. Okay. They're in all 50 states. They offer electronic ticketing services into high schools. And I just have watched the hard work and the thoughtful management that they've brought to the table. And there's no question that they're going to continue to be an incredible success story. And then you can look at a whole different realm of someone like Sammy Lemoy. His company is Alchemol Research. He's been working for 5 years, but drug development is it's a very long process. He's been working for 5 years in the drug development world. His focus is on cancers, aggressive cancers, and he continues to make incredible progress. And so we're really proud of Sammy's work and how he's moving forward. And we just would love to see that his drugs get to market. And we look at someone like Sarah Snyder, who is bringing different kind of testing into the healthcare world. And she's about to come out of a new trial with Carilion, and we're going to see kind of major growth in her company. She's been incredibly successful with obtaining federal grants from NIH, which is a wonderful way to grow. I say to people, if you can obtain the SBIR funding or the NIH funding, that's non-dilutive funds to grow your company. And she's been extremely successful with millions of dollars in that world, and just continues to be smart, hardworking, and connected. The company I was mentioning a moment ago, Render, they have a portable laser cutter that many people in our region might have been following last year. They raised $1 million in investment dollars, and then they did a GoFundMe campaign where they sold their laser cutters online, and they sold, I think, about 650 of them. They'd hoped to sell $50,000 worth, right, and they sold about $700,000 worth.
Incredible.
Yeah. So they're just goes on and on with some of the, and they're generous and they're sharing and they're kind, and all of these startups are willing to help the next startup. So that's one of the things I'm really proud of. But we've got a number of very successful companies.
And it's wonderful to follow all the work that all these different companies are doing. And you're just starting a new cohort right now with a couple of companies. Tell us about them.
Well, we have a company that has come in, a very exciting company called Cyto Recovery. Most of us don't think about the importance of sorting cells, especially in a case of sorting blood cells, so that if you had an aggressive cancer that was moving through your bloodstream, they're able to sort out those cells and then have those cells to do additional work on so that they can better provide personalized medicine. So Cyto Recovery is a company that has grown out of a lab at Virginia Tech and in microfluidics, but they kind of bring a lot to the table in that regard. And so they have also already raised some money and obtained some patents and really proud of the work that they're doing. And I think that we're going to see some exciting research come out of their work. They currently have a process unlike any in the market, and they'll be selling it to researchers. And so again, that's it's a challenging market, and they'll be selling equipment and processes in that regard. And our another company that we've brought in this cohort is led by Tammy Kemp, who comes with a 30 years of experience in the nursing industry, and her ability to she's doing some really cutting edge work with looking at patients' charts and while they're hospitalized, and able to match resources that are needed on that floor with the right nurse for the right care and the right equipment also. So it's possible that a patient can be more critical and we're not pulling all the data together. So she has a technology solution where she's pulling data together in real time and notifying at the nurse's station in real time patients that may need more critical care in the moment. And it's pretty exciting.
Yeah, love it. So what does the future look like for RAMP?
You know, I'm excited for the next 5 years. The reality is we're beginning, we haven't reached a tipping point, I wouldn't think necessarily. We're a startup and we continue to move forward. But more and more people, and Michael, work like this, and you're helping more and more people understand the opportunities that we offer. And as we have more and more successful companies, success begets success. I think in 10 years, there'll be three or four kind of cohorts underway in this region. I know that's the goal, and that we do more with biotechnology. We might do more with autonomous vehicles. And so we intend to grow this initiative and to bring companies in from across the nation that want to locate here and grow their startup.
Wonderful, wonderful. Mary, thank you so much for your time. To find out more about RAMP, go to rampRB.tech. That's RAMP, R-A-M-P, R as in Roanoke, B as in Blacksburg.tech, T-E-C-H. Mary, thanks for all that you do to grow this region internally and to be the farmer that you are. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Michael.
That was a great conversation. I think I might have even learned a few new things.
Indeed. All right. And you do some work, I believe, with one of the RAMP partners, the Roanoke Blacksburg Technology Council.
I do. We work with them through LeadPoint Digital. They're part of the Verge Alliance as well. It's all a great group of people coming together to really support the technology community here in this region.
Right. So if you are in that space or want to be in that space, we would invite you to reach out to RAMP, rampRB.tech.
RBTC, which is rbtc.tech.
Right.
And one more time, I want to thank our sponsors of this show, Partners in Financial Planning, a Southwest Virginia-based financial management firm headquartered in Salem, partnersinfinancialplanning.com, and Freedom First Credit Union, where people bank for good. Find out more at freedomfirst.com. Also, as a reminder, please, please come out this Wednesday, 7 p.m., to Grandin Theater for the watch party for our next TV Buzz episode featuring Virginia Children's Theater and Tudor House. Of course, you could also just tune into Blue Ridge PBS and watch the episode there as well. If you come to the Grandin, though, show up by 6:30, where we will be enjoying some performances by Virginia Children's Theater. And then after the watch party at 7, we will have a question and answer session with the fine folks who lead Tudor House. So more about that on our website, buzzforgood.com.
Next up on the show, we are going to return back to a more traditional nonprofit space, and that is Give Roanoke Day, happening on April the 20th. Give Roanoke. Give stands for Give, Invest, Volunteer, and Empower. And Give Roanoke Day is being coordinated this year by the Council of Community Services, wonderful organization that's been around for about 60 years and has been involved in so many wonderful partnerships throughout this region. They helped start TAP, the Total Action for Progress. They helped start RADAR. They helped start the Community Foundation serving Western Virginia, and now they are taking on Give Roanoke Day. There are, I think, about 100 different nonprofits that are going to be participating in this day of giving. And you please mark your calendars for April 20th, where you can go and support a variety of different nonprofits building a better community in Southwest Virginia. We invited those nonprofits to submit to us videos of about 15 to 20 seconds each, introducing themselves and what they are raising money for on Give Roanoke Day. And so at this time, I'm going to play some of those here so that you can get introduced to them and go ahead and make plans to support them.
Is Rachel Geary. I'm the Development Director for ARCH. We are dedicated to bringing people home after the crises of homelessness and or addiction. Our mission is to provide safe, supportive recovery and opportunities for self-sufficiency to the most vulnerable citizens here in the Roanoke Valley. We hope that on April 20th, you'll join us in our mission to help these folks on their first step out of those cycles of crises.
Hey Roanoke, Emily Pinkerton here with Boys and Girls Clubs of Southwest Virginia. Every day at our 11 club sites, we are doing whatever it takes to make sure that these young people have what they need to become productive, caring, and responsible citizens. Your support ensures we can continue to offer safe havens, mentors, and youth development programming that lead to their great futures. Thanks for giving.
Hi, I'm Alex Barge with Brain Injury Services of Southwest Virginia. Support provided through Give Roanoke this year will go towards helping us provide free case management services for survivors of brain injury. This includes children and adults and people who have been in car accidents to people who have had strokes. Again, your donation will help ensure that this stays free regardless of income. We appreciate it.
Hi, I'm Will Anderson, President and CEO here at Blue Ridge PBS. You know, we're all about education for everyone. And Give Roanoke helps us serve the 42% of the Commonwealth we serve here at Blue Ridge PBS. Help us to continue to create local educational content and continue to share the sights, sounds, and stories of Southwest Virginia. Thank you.
Hey, it's Marnie, and I'm at CCC St. Francis House. Behind me is our 1988 van that is 34 years old this year. We are raising money for Give Roanoke to raise $15,000 to replace our van so that we can continue to pick up food and stock our shelves to feed families throughout the Roanoke Valley. Thank you so much for your generosity and support.
Hi, I'm Jack Perkins, the Executive Director of the Compress and Shock Foundation. This May, we're inviting the public to own the outcome in cardiac arrest. May 21st, we're having free CPR and AED training for the public. Please help consider supporting us or coming out as a learner, and check out our website, compressionshock.org. Thank you.
Family Promise of Greater Roanoke is a local response to the crisis of family homelessness. We partner with families with children to prevent homelessness and avoid shelter, to shelter those who lose their homes, and to provide continued help when they move from shelter to their home. Every child deserves a home, and you can make that happen.
Hi, I'm Linda Henschel, President and CEO of Family Service of the Roanoke Valley. Thank you for giving to Give Roanoke. Your donation helps us as we support individuals and families as they journey toward emotional wellness, healthy relationships, and a future filled with hope. Thank you.
Hi, we are Phoenix, Southwest Virginia, here at the Community Solutions Center. We give hope. We give hope to adult students seeking valuable culinary skills and certification to excel in the food service industry. These incredible students give hope to children facing hunger in Roanoke by preparing fresh meals every day. And by supporting the Community Solutions Center, you can give hope to.
Hi, my name is Aaron Doughty, and I'm the Executive Director for Friendship House Roanoke. For Give Roanoke this year, we are raising funds for our refugee housing program. We just purchased this apartment for refugee families who are fleeing war and violence, and we hope to raise the final $20,000 on Give Roanoke Day so that we can finish renovating this apartment for families.
Hi, I'm the program coordinator at House of Bread, a faith-based organization providing job skill training and mentoring to women coming out of incarceration. During Give Roanoke, we're hoping to raise $3,600 that will fully fund our next 8-week baking session. Check out our page for more information, and thanks for your support.
For Give Roanoke, Huddle Up Moms is raising money to provide high-quality doula trainings and birth support access to women of color in the Roanoke Valley. Our goal is to raise $4,700, and with your help, we can support up to 6 women of color to complete doula training and begin providing more equitable birth services in the Roanoke Valley.
Hi, I'm Ron Boyd, President and CEO of LOA, the Local Office on Aging. We appreciate your support during the Give Roanoke campaign. Your donations will help us support our over 30 plus community-based programs and will help seniors to remain independent for as long as possible.
Hello everyone, New Freedom Farm is excited to participate in Give Roanoke on April 20th, and all of our funding will be used to help more veterans and more horses here at New Freedom Farm. We're super excited to participate in this grand event, and we look forward to having you help us help more veterans and more horses. Have a great day.
Hi, my name is Carrie Pratt, and I'm representing the Prevention Council of Roanoke. We need your help to continue providing education and wellness initiatives in our community. Please join me and donate to the Prevention Council on April 20th. We would love it if you could donate at least $21 in honor of our 21 years of service. To find out more, please visit roanokeprevention.org.
We are Franklin County Humane Society,
and we are raising money to save more lives.
Hi, I'm Rachel with Restoring Hope Roanoke. We're participating in Give Roanoke this year to raise money for Jobs for Life and Faith and Finances classes, training for church-based English teachers, Helping Without Hurting seminars, and more. Will you join us?
Hi, I'm Mary Beth Mills with Restoration Housing, a nonprofit developer that restores vacant and blighted properties for affordable housing. Opportunities like Give Roanoke allows us to complete high-quality restoration projects like the one behind me that will welcome 2 low-income families home once complete.
Hi, we're the cast of The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime at Showtimers Community Theater. Please consider donating during Give Roanoke to support local artists, actors, and Roanoke's oldest community theater.
Southwest Virginia Wildlife Center, we care for over 2,600 animals per year that have been injured or orphaned due to human activity. We are a nonprofit and we receive no state or federal funding, so we rely on donations from people like you to help save the lives of wildlife.
Hi everybody, my name is Pedro Salai, the Artistic Director of Southwest Virginia Ballet, the Virginia's Blue Ridge Dance Company. We are so excited about April 20th. We are going to have a Facebook Live. We are going to represent our company. for the fundraiser for Keith Roanoke. Hopefully we'll see you there.
Hi there, my name is Kathleen Thorell and I'm the Executive Director of Tutor House, a nonprofit dedicated to suicide prevention, education, and support. Today we are raising money for our youth suicide prevention and mental health education programs. We appreciate any way that you can help us meet this vital need in our community. Thank you.
Mark Johnson, President and CEO of the YMCA of Virginia's Blue Ridge. We're currently raising money to provide wellness for people of all ages, childcare for families in need, and youth programming for children throughout our communities. I hope you'll join us.
All right, so Give Roanoke Day, April the 20th. Make sure you mark your calendars for the big event. And now, maybe some of these nonprofits can benefit from my favorite segment of this show, and that is Carrie Cousins' No Budget Marketing Minute.
Okay, I've got a free tip for you today.
Okay.
This one's a little bit more complicated than what we normally talk about, but it's vitally important.
All right.
How many nonprofits send email?
I would imagine most of them.
All of them,
all
right?
All of them, sure.
So what I want you to consider is a re-engagement campaign. And this is sending an email to your entire database asking them if they want to keep getting email. So this is really beneficial for folks in your list who maybe haven't opened an email in a really long time. You see those click rates and those open rates starting to shrink
right
over time. A re-engagement email gives people the opportunity to say, yes, I want to keep getting emails from you, or maybe I'm not still part of this list.
I'm not into you anymore.
Or what normally happens is people change jobs. That email address is just dead. And this gives you a cue that that email address could be purged from your list.
Okay.
This is good for a couple reasons.
All right.
You want to send signals to the email universe that your email is not spam, right? The more people that open it, the less spammy it looks.
Okay.
Two, you're probably paying for the number of subscribers in your email list. If you're sending emails to dead space, you're paying for dead space.
Right, right.
Let's get them out of the database.
Okay.
And three, the re-engagement campaign is an extra opportunity to connect with people. Give them a, put a little carrot out there to re-engage. Maybe give them an invitation to an event you have coming up, or offer a sticker or something just to kind of reconnect with that audience. But it's a really good way to kind of gauge your email subscriber base and clean out all of the stuff that doesn't need to be there.
It kind of runs counterintuitive to what we typically think, because we typically don't want to give anyone an excuse to get out of our email clutches.
I don't want them if they don't want emails from me.
Well, that's true.
That, because what'll happen at some point, you know what they'll do to your email?
Just ignore it.
Market it spam. And there is nothing worse than having your emails flagged as spam. So I'd rather give people an opportunity to opt out on their own than to mark us as spam. And really what an re-engagement campaign really does is it reaffirms people who want to get emails. Okay. Very seldom do you get a lot of unsubscribes from it. Mostly you see that the people who haven't been opening just aren't there anymore.
So how would you set that campaign up? Like, what would you put in the subject line? Do you still, are you still into us?
Yeah. Do you want to get, do you want to get emails from us?
Yeah.
Hey, how are you doing? Like, I would make this kind of light, kind of fun so that it stands out in the inbox. And I would make this action at the top. It does not need to be a long email. You open it. Hey, do you still want to get emails from insert your organization here? Yes or no. And then maybe a little blurb about what you do and why your emails are important.
Okay.
If you really have a complex email system, you could even, instead of offering, do you want to, you could offer changing the frequency of your emails. So maybe I only get one or two a year instead of one or two a month.
Yep.
So give your audience some options so that they'll actually interact when you do send email.
Great suggestion. You know, of course, I think it always goes back to also making sure that when you do send out that general email, that it is really vital, that you're really making it apparent that this is worth your attention.
Don't send an email just because you have a schedule that says I send an email on Tuesday. It needs to have a purpose.
Yeah. Good. All right. So great suggestion. And once again, how much does that cost?
It's absolutely free.
Absolutely free. You got to love that. Well, Carrie, thank you so much as always. And with that, I want to thank everyone for tuning in to Buzz for Good.
We hope you have a great week, and you can connect with us on social media. You can visit us online at buzzforgood.com, on Facebook, on Instagram, and on LinkedIn.
Thanks so much. Talk to you soon.